Luke chapter 15. Let's all stand. Beginning verse 11. This is a story about the prodigal son. And I want to talk to you and bring out a few thoughts about this tonight. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Remember, he was a Jew. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when his father was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. God, speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. There's much in here, and I pray that I can do it justice on what I want to present tonight. May it touch our hearts. May it give us a heart for prayer and for compassion and concern. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is a very famous portion of Scripture. We all know the story about the son. He was in the father's house, and he decided he wanted to go. We don't know what led him to go off like that, but he got his eyes on something else and said, Dad, let me go. Give me what's coming to me. Let me just go and do my thing. And the father, for whatever reason, gave him his share and let him go his way. He went his way, and he had friends while he had money. But did you notice that it said when he was hungry, he would have eaten the husks with the pigs? Where were all of his friends at that time? Let me warn you, young people and young adults, before you ever walk away from God, remember who your best friend this side of heaven is, and even in heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. And he was a prodigal. Now, I want to point out the three people that are involved in this. First of all, we have the prodigal son, the one that rebelled and went away. Secondly, we have the pessimistic son. Now, I didn't read the last portion of it, but we know that when the brother came back and made things right with the father, the other son was very bitter, very jealous, and thought that that son should have just been kicked out, left out, and forgotten about. He's very pessimistic in life. But then the third one was the very patient, praying father. And that's what I really want to talk about tonight out of this message, was the praying father. Do you think for one minute one day that this father ever forgot about that son, ever gave up on him. Because when he came back, he was out there looking and saw him come back. It was not a shock to him, I don't think. Because when he was there, he ran. There's a song about this. It's the only time in Scripture that God ran, and the Father being symbolic of the Heavenly Father, ran to meet the Son. And that's what God does. When God comes to us, there's nothing too big. There's no hindrance. There's no letdown with the Father. When He comes after us, He comes and He keeps coming after us. And here came the Son back, and the Father ran out to meet Him with open arms and joy. And He said, let's kill the fatted calf, and let's have a big feast, and let's make merry, because here's my son that was lost, and now he's come home. Let's rejoice. And isn't it good when we see people rejoice? I mentioned that my brother-in-law just passed away early this morning, 5 years ago up in Regional Hospital. When he first had cancer, I was able to go up there. And this, my brother-in-law, that was an ungodly, foul-mouthed speaker, accepted the Lord as his Savior. He never really come around like I would like to have seen him, but his language did change. His use of God's name in vain, that he never did it disrespectfully. It was just a common way of talking. But God changed him, and I'm so thankful, and I really believe that when he died this morning that he woke up in the Father's arms. But here we need to look at the Father. He was patient, and he prayed. And what I want to talk to you tonight about are some prodigals that were reclaimed over the prayer of some people. I've mentioned to you numerous times how that my grandmother, prayed for me. Now, whether I was a saved prodigal or a lost prodigal at that time, I'm not sure. But she never gave up on me. They kept praying. And when I got saved, November 1966, my life changed. And just like the son that came back to the father, I came back home. I never had a lot of relationship with my grandma. I wish I had spent more time with her and found out more of what went on. I found little piecemeal things later on, and I really feel bad about it. But I'm a prodigal that was reclaimed. Floyd Bose, my father-in-law, had another daughter besides Connie, who had a son way back. And for whatever reason, I know, but you don't need to know, the father of that son stole him away, took him to Florida when he was real, real little. Floyd Bose never gave up praying for Danny Ray. Year after year, praying for Danny Ray. When Danny Ray graduated from high school, played football in high school, he had married a Christian girl and went to a Bible college after high school, never knowing his grandpa. Never knowing his grandpa prayed all those years for him. But God heard Floyd's prayers and saved Danny Ray. Rachel, Connie's mom, started coming to Blessed Hope before whatever the church was called when it was over in Wilford. And Angela was talking to Penny about this last week. And I think you were having a tent meeting. Rachel called the church and asked if someone could pick her up. And Jack and Penny began picking Rachel up and that become a regular habit. And I believe she still came to church even when the churches merged back here, but she died before Connie and I moved back here. Penny told Angela last Sunday, and that's what made me develop this sermon the way I'm doing, that as Rachel was coming in, one of her prayer requests was mentioned over and over, pray for my granddaughter, Angela. Angela was rebellious for a while, but she's a prodigal come home. She's sitting right here tonight because the grandmother never gave up praying for her. Who's the prodigal that you've been praying for? A child? We've got many children that have come through here that have gone the way of the prodigal. And many of us pray for some of them day in and day out on our prayer list. But there's a praying father, there's a praying mother, there's a praying grandfather, praying grandmother, saying, God, bring my child back, bring my grandchild back, bring them back. We probably all have some prodigals in our life. But I want to tell you about another prodigal. And I haven't told you his name yet. You're probably wondering why this piece of paper is around my tie. When I finish the sermon, I'm going to tell you. There was a young man born in Scotland somewhere around 375. He died in 460. His father's name was Potitus. His father was a deacon in his grandfather's church. His grandfather's name was Copernicus, the pastor of the church, a Baptist church, Baptist in doctrine. Didn't have First Baptist Church, but they baptized by immersion. They did not baptize infants. So they were a Baptist church. This young man grew up, and as a teenager in Scotland, was out on the beach one day with some friends and kidnapped by pirates. And this is very common back then. We don't know how many. I've heard stories that thousands of people were kidnapped, at least hundreds, if not thousands, over the years back then. Kidnapped and taken off and sold in another country as a slave. So here was this prodigal son who at 16 had rejected his dad and his grandpa and everything that they had taught him. He was taken off by the pirates, sold into slavery. The slave that he was sold to took him and he served him for 6 years in slavery. The slave master was a hog farmer. How appropriate to go along with Scripture. So this young man for 6 years fed the hogs and served. But as he lay on his bed, he began thinking about what his grandfather had taught and what his father believed. And the Holy Spirit began to recall those things that he had heard. And there in his place, while a slave serving the hog farmer, he called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as his Savior. And he made this comment later on, I turned to God with all my heart. Prior to that, it was just a plaything. Now, while in captivity, he had a dream. The dream was that there was a ship waiting. He heard a voice say, "You have fasted well. Very soon you will return to your native land." After a while, he heard a voice saying, "Look, your ship is ready." It was not nearby. It was some 200 miles away. He wrote this, that as he left and some people went with him, he went in the strength of God and he feared nothing on the journey. The Holy Spirit had done such a work of salvation in his heart that as a brand new babe in Christ, he had all the nerve of the Holy Spirit to get up and go. He knew not where, he knew not how, but he knew he was being led in that direction. He met the ship, and after going 200 miles, and meeting the men and the captain was not pleased and rejected him, turned him away. Can you imagine the dejection? He turned to leave. He began to pray as he was walking away. Soon, very soon, he was still close by. He heard a voice saying, come quickly, those men are calling you. They wanted him back on the ship. Whatever changed their mind is not written in this for us. But they called him back to the ship. They began to chide him, though, on the ship after they took off. They began to chide him about his God because the ship was having problems. He said to turn to God and trust him and pray. And they did. They set sail 3 days to land, then 28 days in the wilderness after the ship hit land, could not go on. They prayed, and as they went on in the wilderness, hungering, not knowing where their next meal was going to come from, of all things, out of nowhere came a herd of pigs and appeared to them right in front of them as they were going that way. They stopped. They had a two-night pig feast. Filled up on that, got themselves all secured and ready to go. After returning to his home, this young man, and letting his family know what had happened to him, and how God had worked a miracle in his life, he began to grow in the Lord. As he grew in the Lord, God called him back to the land of his captivity and to the place of his conversion back in that pagan land. Gave him a heart for his slave master that had him there and the ones that he served with. Some of his accomplishments as he went back. He baptized thousands and had converts. He ordained men to the ministry. He refused to be paid for almost anything as he was there to serve God and win people to the Lord. Do any of you know what this young man's name was? We're about to celebrate a false day on the 17th of this month called St. Patrick's Day. The young man I just described to you was Patrick from Scotland serving in Ireland. Stolen by the Catholics, but none of his early biographers mention Rome, or the Catholic Church was just coming into existence at that time. At this time, the Roman Church was just an embryo form. But somewhere along the line, the Catholics decided, hey, Patrick was a pretty good guy. He'd make one of our saints. To this day, St. Patrick has never been canonized in the Catholic Church. He's not a Catholic. By all standards, he was an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. God honored, God called, God protected, and God prospered. Now, the reason I've got the tie on, what's the color of St. Patrick's Day?
Green.
That's Irish color, and that's the Catholic color. In AD 1112, after the Catholics had stolen Patrick and his testimony and made it a Catholic icon, William of Orange, I'll tell you about him in a minute, Professor Strollo, a prominent scholar, declared in AD 1112 that at that time, each Irish church was independent and autonomous. In 1100, they were not Catholic. They were independent churches with pastor and people. That was in 1112, after he had died in 460. Neander, History of the Christian Church, says the facts of the origin of the Irish Church was independent of Rome. So when we serve St. Patrick's Day, I prefer just call it Patrick the Baptist Day. He was a saint, an honest saint, made one by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Catholics started wearing green, and they still wear green today to honor St. Patrick. And I've lost my note on it here, the exact year. Here it is, I got one more page. Pope Leo II was Bishop of Rome from 440 to 461. He never mentioned Patrick's name. And let me tell you, Catholics kept archives of historical events. Not one time was Patrick's name. Do you know where most of our Baptist history comes from? Catholic archives. Because when they went out and killed the Baptists, they kept record of it. Year and how many and who did it. And it's open to the public today. That's where a lot of our historical events have been validated. Now about Patrick. He only baptized born-again believers. Never one time ever mentioned infant baptism. He baptized by immersion, never one time by sprinkling or any other method. Historians report that over 12,000 conversions and baptisms during the lifetime of Patrick in Ireland. A man who would not take pay for it, did it as a ministry of God, thankful of God's forgiveness and reception of him back into the family of God. Now, the flag of Ireland, if you know what it is today, it's green and orange with a white stripe down the center. In 1690, William of Orange defeated King James II, who was a Catholic, and began Protestant rule. And it was at that time that they began to wear orange in opposition to green. But the problem with us is that the orange was representative of Protestants, the ones that came out of the Catholic Church with Martin Luther. We're not that. I first developed this sermon 1 year ago this month out in Washington, and I was going to preach it, and I went out and bought this tie, $34, to protest the green of the Irish. Now, it so happened that my pastor friend, Marvin McKenzie, is a Baptist historian, much better educated in it than I am. And he said, well, Brother Joe, said, it is opposing the green, but it represents Protestants, of which we're not Protestants. So I said, well, let's look at the flag. Green, orange, and the white in between, after William of Orange made peace with them, the white was to represent peace between the Catholics and the Protestants. Well, I've added a little twist to that. The white is representative of pure Baptist doctrine that caused Patrick to go out and do what he did. So that's why I have this white wrapped around the orange to show that I'm not a Protestant, I'm a Baptist. But if I had to choose orange over green, I would take the orange. But I prefer the pure white of Baptist doctrine. And that's where we've come to today. Now, where are we at today? When we look back at young men like Patrick and realize for sure what he did, 12,000 converts and baptisms in a lifetime. We in America have let the ball roll away. And I point the finger at myself. I try to witness, but how many of us are praying? So all of this message started out with a prodigal son, a pessimistic brother, but a patient, praying father. Let's never give up on those that we're praying for. We all have children, grandchildren, siblings, maybe parents that are even older, but by the power of God, I think that when Patrick was in his bed in that slave cabin, that a father named Potitus and a grandfather named Calpurnius were many times on their knees for how long? Praying for Patrick. God can do it. But let's be faithful in our efforts. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this message, how it touches my heart every time I preach it. And Lord, it's been a little different tonight than I've ever preached it before. But I pray that you will touch the hearts of all of us here and help us to have an active daily for hours, if we can, prayer time for those who seem to have no concern over the things of God. Their hearts need to be broken. Their lives need to be changed, and only Jesus can do that. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.